Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Miketz. So the Parsha begins with Vayhi Miketz Nasayim Yamim. It was at the end of 2 years. So, and then Par had his dream. So the Chizkuni, just quoting from the Chazal, giving you the history of what happened during the time Yosef got to Mitzrayim till he stood before Paro. So that was 13 years. He got there. Remember, everyone knows he got to Mitzrayim when he was 17. And he stood before Paro when he was 30. So that gives you 13 years to play with. So what happened during those 13 years? So the Chizkuni brings, year one, he lived by Potiphar. He was working at Potiphar's house. Then the story happened with Ashes Potiphar. So year he was by Potiphar. Then he gets has the story with Ashes Potiphar. And he gets thrown in jail. He gets thrown in jail. The Gzera was for 10 years. Why 10 years? Because it says, if you remember, that according to some anyway, Yosef was going to go be Mizana with Ashes Potiphar, right? That was his intention. Except it was near Lo Demustiok no Shalaviv, but then he saw his father, and his father told him, do you want to be wiped off the Choshen? Your name is on the Choshen. Do you want to be wiped off? So he says he was not Tziparnav Bakarka. He put his nails into the ground, and he was able to control himself to not be with Ashes Potiphar. But it says that the Zera came from between his fingers, whatever that means, all 10 fingers. And so he was Motzi Zera. It says it came out of his fingers, whatever that means. But it's something, there was something with Zera coming out of his 10 fingers. And because of that, even though he didn't sin with her, but because he was still Motzi Zera, he was punished that he would be in jail for 10 years. Can I get the Zera that came out of the 10 fingers? So there's your 10 years. And then after the 10 years were up, he was supposed to get out. Thing was, he asked the Saramashkim to remember him to Paro, which was an Avera, right? He should have trusted in Hashem. And therefore, he got an extra 2 years in jail. So that's why he Miketz Nasayim Yamim. It was 2 years after the Gzera was supposed to have ended. That's what the 2 years after what? 2 years after the Yosef Gzera was supposed to have ended, he was supposed to get out. And Paro has this dream. Okay, good. Now, what's the dream? So he has a couple dreams. One of the dreams was about the wheat, right? There were stalks of wheat. And the bad wheat, they're like the low level wheat, the unhealthy wheat was swallowing up the good wheat. So the Chizkuni says here from Yesh Mefarshim, a very interesting yesod, that this word vativlana, that the thin bad stalks of wheat swallowed up, can't mean swallowed. It means it was taller then, so you couldn't see it. Like the skinny, bad wheat was much taller than the good wheat, and therefore it swallowed it up in the sense that you couldn't see it. But not that it literally swallowed it up. Why? And this is just the part that's interesting to you. So, because if Hashem's sending someone a message, Hashem doesn't send them a message that's not of this world. There's no flying pigs in dreams like that. I mean, you can have that dream, but that's not a message from Hashem. If Hashem is sending a person a message, it'll be something that is not something impossible, something normal, but not something impossible like a wheat stalk swallowing another wheat stalk. Okay, that was just interesting. Anyway, it says, so Paro has these dreams, and Vayhi Vaboker Vatipa Emrucho. He gets up in the morning and Vatipa Emrucho. So Rashi says it means that he was all upset about it. And Rashi also quotes that by Nebuchadnezzar it says Vatispa Emrucho. Nebuchadnezzar also had dreams in the beginning of Book of Daniel. And there, what's the two Vatispa Em? Because there Nebuchadnezzar not only didn't know what the meaning of his dream was, he forgot the dream too. Now, the Chizkuni, I mean, if you read the Psukkim, I think it sounds like when you read Daniel that he remembered the dream and just wasn't willing to tell it to his advisors. So I think the Chizkuni was saying that he originally forgot the dream. At some point he may have remembered it, but he originally forgot the dream. Okay, whatever the pshat is in Daniel, it's not so much the point. The point is, Rashi, the Chizkuni, they're saying at the beginning, Nebuchadnezzar, who also had dreams, so he forgot his dream originally. So the Chizkuni asks, what is the difference? Why is it that in case you're not familiar, Nebuchadnezzar had some dreams, and he called all his advisors to come, and unlike the story by Yosef, where Yosef was told by Paro what the dream is and asked to interpret it, by Nebuchadnezzar called all his wise men and didn't tell them their dream. He said, you guys tell me what the dream is and then interpret it for me. Of course, they couldn't do it, and that's why they had to call Daniel, who was a Navi, and he was able to do it because he's a Navi. Otherwise, how can you do it? But why did Hashem make Nebuchadnezzar forget the dream too? And by Paro, that was not the case. So the Chizkuni answers that by Paro, since the dream Paro dreamt was about to come true, so when Yosef would say the interpretation, and 2 seconds later you see it's true, that would show how great Yosef is, and that was the point. Whereas by Daniel, the dream Nebuchadnezzar had was not going to come true for a long time. So anytime somebody gives a prophecy about what's going to happen in forever, in a bunch of years, a long time from then, so then it's not as impressive. Because people think you got lucky or who knows what, or they don't know to remember. Anyway, so that since it was going to be a prophecy that wasn't going to be able to be true to see if Daniel was right, it's for a long time, so therefore Hashem made it that he would forget the dream, so that this way he'd be able to show he's a Navi, because he could say, you know, tell me, he could tell the dream even though he wasn't even told what the dream was, he was able to say what the dream was. That takes a Navi to read someone's mind. So that's why it had to be that way. Okay, next. So Paro's looking for help. And the Sarah Mashkim says, Eschatai ani maskir ayom. I'm going to remind you of my sins, it sounds like, and what sin, that what he had done wrong, where Paro threw him in jail. And there was this Nar, Eved Ivri, this child who's an Eved, putting him down. And he's good at interpreting dreams. Maybe you should call him. So the Chizkuni has a couple of Haaras over here. One is, I shouldn't say ours. Interesting explanations. Eschatai anim eskereyom. Sounds like it means, I'm going to remind you, Paro, of this avera I did that you threw me in jail for. So, the Chizkuni says, that's not what it means. Chatai means, my sin that I haven't told you this, Paro, till now. I guess I should clarify. It doesn't say he didn't mean eschatai. I mean, he says both. It meant, yes, I'm going to remind you of the sin I did, but also I'm going to mention that I didn't tell you, Paro, till now, about this guy who's good at telling dreams. And of course, the real sin about that was Yosef had asked him to say something to Paro, and he didn't say something to Paro. So that was chata'ai. Besides what he did wrong, it was his chata'ai that he never mentioned Yosef. But what's interesting is the next thing, when it says Nar Eved Ivri, why did he knock him? Why was Sarah Mashkim trying to knock down Yosef? Now, remember, Rashi says, oh, you know, Arurim Arashayim, that they can't even do one nice thing. All this guy told, Yosef told this guy his dreams, and this he was supposed to remind him, tell Paro that. And then, not only didn't he do that, even when he was doing the Tova of helping Yosef out, it was in the Lashon Bizayim. Okay, but so the Chizkuni says, why did he do it? Why was the Sarah Mashkim interested in knocking down Yosef? Just I'm in a bad mood. So the Chizkuni explains, because the Sarah Mashkim was afraid. He was afraid because he knew Yosef was good. He was going to come out and help Paro and get his dream answered. And then Paro would probably raise him up to a high level. And then what would be of the Sarah Mashkim? Right back to jail, right? So he was afraid. They didn't want Paro to make him rule. So he was trying to knock him down and say, you know, he's not someone who should be leading. He's a Nar, he's an Eved. So that was the point of knocking him down. And also he says that it was because, like we said, he didn't tell him till now about Yosef. He didn't tell Paro till now about Yosef, so he thought he would also be upset about that. So he also wanted to knock him down. He's not so great, you know, you don't need to know him so badly. Okay, so Yosef comes and interprets the dreams, and he says to Paro, the fact that you saw the cows and you saw with the wheat stalks, the fact that you saw two dreams means it's going to happen very soon. So ask the Chizkuni, Yosef also had two dreams. Remember from last week's parsha, Yosef also had two dreams with the sun and the moon and the stars and also stalks. So his dream did not come true soon. It came true eventually, but not soon. But so why is he telling Paro the fact that you saw a dream twice means it's going to happen soon? He had his own dream, two dreams that didn't happen soon. So he answers, which is interesting. He says that his Yosef's dreams happened over several nights. As opposed to Paro's dream, he had both dreams in one night. That shows that it's going to happen quickly. Okay, so Paro is very impressed, and he raises Yosef up, and he gives him Asnas Bas Potiphera. So who is Asnas Baspo Tifera? So he brings the from Chazal as follows that one explanation I should say she was called Asnas is because the story of her was I think many people have heard this. As it comes from the Medrash that it was the daughter of Dina. Dina, remember, was raped by Shechem, so they had a child together, and the brothers wanted to kill this child. I guess because she was the, we don't know why, but I guess Pashtus, when you read it, sounds like because she was the child of an illegal relationship. So they wanted to kill the daughter of Dina, and Yaakov protected her. Yaakov put some kameh around her neck and told her to leave, and she hid out, she escaped and hid amongst the thorn bushes. So like a sneh, right, it's a thorn bush, so she was called Osnas, because she hung out in the sneh. She escaped from the sneh. And where did she escape to? You guessed it. To Mitzrayim. How? It says that Malach Gavriel brought her there, and he brought her to Eishes Potiphar. So she grew up in the foster care, adopted, whatever you want to call it, in the house of Potiphar. So when it says they gave Yosef Asnas Bas Potiphera, so it meant it wasn't literally his daughter, it was like his daughter. It was his adoptive daughter, his foster care daughter, whatever you want, you know, whatever word you want to use. Again, this story you've heard from, you know, whatever, it's brought down in many places. So so Asnas was really Dina's daughter. So she was actually Jewish. What happened when Yosef went out and all the women were all in awe of him and they threw him their bracelets, their stuff. So this girl had nothing to throw. The only thing she had was this kameya, this thing that Yaakov had given her. So she threw that at Yosef. And Yosef saw that. He was like, who is this? And that's how Yosef came to take her as a wife. Okay, so Yosef marries her. They have a ksuva and whatever. They have a regular good marriage. And they have kids. So in Pasuk Nun, it says, Ulu Yosef yulad shnei banim b'terem tavo shnas harav. They have kids before the years of the famine. What does the years of the famine have to do with anything? So Rashi says, because you're not allowed to be mishamish mitaso in years of famine. If there's a famine where I guess everyone's dying in the Shas Tzara, person's not allowed to be mishamish mitaso during that time. So the Cheskuni asks an interesting question. We know that Yocheved was nolda be'nachomos, right? Yocheved was born as they entered Mitzrayim. So they entered Mitzrayim during the times of famine, right? And she was born right then. That must have meant that Levi was being mishamish mitaso b'shnas ra'avon. How can that be? That's a good question. How was Yocheved born as soon as they entered Egypt? That should have meant that he must have been mishamish mitaso in the times of shnas ravon, times of the famine. So Cheskuni answers that Levi didn't have that promise. His family had plenty of food. Like the Jewish people, as far as they knew, were good. Like he didn't have to be parish. Yosef should have thought his fathers and they didn't have enough, and that they were in Tsar, so he should have been parish from his wife because his father and brothers were in Tsar. Levi knew that they were not in Tsar, so he wasn't parish. And if he should have been concerned, what's with Yosef? It's for one guy, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, because there's one person who's not having, who's in Shnas Ravon, that doesn't count. So you see, the Cheskuni is assuming this whole thing has to do with Yidden, that are in a Shnas Ravon. That's when a person came to Shamish Mitaso. So Yosef should have thought his father was in a Shnas Ravon. So he had to stop. He had to be parish. Whereas Levi knew that was not an issue. And just for Yosef, he didn't have to do it for one person. Okay, then we have that they come down, the brothers come down to Mitzrayim, and Yosef pretends he doesn't know them. He throws them all in jail. And then he ends up taking Shimon as a hostage, right? For them to get Binyamin. Now, why'd he take Shimon? So this is interesting. The Cheskuni says that really he should have assumed that, you know, who gets in trouble if you have a bunch of people and you want to hold one? Who's the one who did the most avla to Yosef? So probably you would say Reuven, because Reuven's the oldest. he could have stopped everything, right? He should get the, he's the one who's really in charge. He should really take the blame for what happened. But it says two psukim before. It said they threw them all in jail. And then the pasuk says, "Vayan Reuven Osam." Reuven said to them, "Hallo amarti aleichem al techadu vayelad. I told you not to do anything to Yosef. Velo shemata vegam damohim in drush. You didn't listen to him, and now that's why we're in jail because of that avera that we did." The next pasuk says, "Vehem lo yodu. They didn't know ki shamea Yosef. Yosef would list them ki amelitz beinosam because there was a translator there. Vayisav meleim vayev. He turned away and cried." So he took Shimon. He's the one, next one down. So that's how he's explaining what the order of the psukim. He was going to take Reuven, then he heard that Reuven had actually tried to save him. So therefore he went to Shimon. Okay, so anyway, we know the whole story. They get sent back, they come back with Binyamin eventually. So, and they're brought to the house of Yosef, and they say they were afraid. Because it was probably because that extra money or stuff they got from Yosef, they thought that they were going to be arrested. And it says, this is just an excuse to get us, take us as slaves and our donkeys. So the Chizkuni says, why is he mentioned and our donkeys? That was the giveaway. The fact that they were all being brought into the house with the donkeys, they knew it was trouble, because, or they thought it was trouble. Because if they just brought them in, then maybe they just want to talk to him. But if he's bringing the donkeys in, why do the donkeys need to go in the house? Must be to arrest them all. That's what they thought. Okay. So then Yosef loads them up to go, gives them the food, and gives loads them up to go home, and he gives extra to Binyamin. Now, why did he choose Binyamin to do this to? So this is interesting. Yosef didn't, he says, Chizkuni says, Yosef didn't recognize Binyamin because it was a long time ago. They didn't have a beard at the time, whatever it is. Yosef didn't recognize Binyamin. He was told it was Binyamin, but how does he know? Maybe it's not Binyamin. Maybe they just brought some guy. So he put the cup into Binyamin's sack so that this way, if the brothers had brought him some guy, and then this guy got in trouble, they'd be like, okay, yeah, sorry, tough luck, you know, see ya. This way, if it was really their brother, he hoped they wouldn't turn on him. But that's why he put it in Binyamin's sack to find out if it was really Binyamin. Okay, he sends him in the morning, and the Chizkuni points out, even though most people who are traveling with Tvua, he says, get up in the middle of the night to start their trip, he wouldn't let them leave till the morning because he wanted it to be in broad daylight because he knew he was going to be sending Menashe after them because he was going to frame them by putting the cup in the Binyamin's basket. He knew he was afraid the brothers would try to kill Menashe. So therefore he did it, waited till the morning where everyone would see, and they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't kill him in broad daylight, apparently. Okay, and then she just brings that when Menashe chased after them, when he chased the brothers, he caused them to be Korea big dam, right? They did Korea when they heard that he was coming to say, why'd you take my master's cup? They all tore Korea, and he brings the Chazal that because Menashe caused them to tear Korea, so his Nachla was also ripped because the Yarden goes in the middle of his Nachla. Okay, just interesting in Chazal. So Menashe says to them, don't you know this is my master's cup? V'hu nacheshi nacheshbo. He does nichush with it. What does that mean? So one is that it means nachesh nacheshbo means this was a test. He left that cup out because he knew you guys, he wanted to see if you guys were trustworthy, and you stole it. It was nachesh nachesh was a test. Another pshat is that he speaks to nichush is like superstitious. He speaks to people who could figure out who stole this for him. Or the pshat is that when a chashav cup of his is stolen, it's a bad simit. That's the nichush there. So anyway, those are three pshatim he gives. So what he meant by ki nachesh nacheshbo. Okay, and then finally, when the brothers are first caught, or were first accused, so they said, whoever has that cup, he should die, and we will be avadim. Then they find it in Binyamin's backpack, whatever, and they say to him,
Hinenu avdim ladunim laduni gam anachnu gam hashen emtzei gavir biyado. They flip on him, right? They say, the one who had it, we will be slaves, and also the one who has found the gavir in his hand should also be a slave. What's the chiddush? If they're going to be slaves, certainly the guy who, you know, Menashe had not accepted their original offer. Menashe just said, whoever has the cup, he'll be an Evan for me. So, like, coming off of that, for them to say, oh, okay, we'll all be Avadim, and he's going to be an Evan. Of course he's going to be an Evan. That was the deal, he's going to be an Evan. Why are they adding, we'll be Avadim, and also the guy who was found was an Evan? It's because they had offered, the brothers had offered for him to die, meaning whoever was found with. So they were saying, we accept your offer. That's the chiddush of the Gam. Meaning now that it was found in Binyamin's satchel, they're saying, we will all be Avadim, right? It's almost like an in-between deal. We'll all be Avadim, and he'll be in Avad, because you just wanted him to be in Avad. We had offered him to die, and then we'd be Avadim. So it's like in-between things. We'll all be slaves, and also the guy who was found in his hand, he'll also be a slave, not killed, because they didn't want their brother to be killed. So that's the chiddush of the he will be an Evid. That should have been Pashat. That's the Chiddush, that he won't die. Okay, that's it.